Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?
It's nice to see you all on this very, very warm afternoon. Now, if you are a teacher here, I presume you're in a state of delirium because you've now got 5 days, no classes. Phenomenally good. And if you're a parent here, I suspect the feeling may be slightly different. Much as you love your children, the prospects of 5 days, well, that's why on Friday, Hullabaloo is going on. And if you're not signed up for Hullabaloo, then we'd love to see you here. Please get some stuff. There's, I think, some flyers at the back afterwards. Please get some, and please come. We'd love to have you. There's still spaces for a few. Okay, so we're going to think about the God to speak about. That's the subject that I've been given from Isaiah. And you know what? I've got some absolutely fantastic news, because I'm loaded. I'm absolutely loaded. See what that is? That is money. Now, I just want to know, would any children like some money? Would you like to? Because if you do, you can come and get it. It's perfectly free. You're not a child. Come on in. Come on. It's fine. Come and get it. That is a fiver. Here you go. Anyone else? Look, this is a great opportunity. It's a real freebie. You will not get this opportunity again. Liam's interested. Fiver. Fantastic. Fiver. Phenomenal. Fiver. Fiver. Anyone else? Oh, Judas saved the rest to last. A tenner. Yeah. Go and sit down. Okay. So, because I'm loaded and I've been very generous, I've just given you some money. It may be, however, when you have a little look at it, you might think, I've been done. Because that might be more important. But we'll come back to that later. Okay, for the moment. So, three things we're going to think about. First of all, witnesses. If you've got your Bibles in front of you, it'd be great to have them open. Or look at the passage on the screen. That'd be fantastic. Okay. When you look at this passage, okay, and in particular, we're going to need to flick back to 9 and 10, verses 9 and 10, okay? Do you know what God is looking for in this passage? There's a word beginning with W, ending with S, that's repeated at least twice, okay, in verses 9 and 10. Can anyone spot that word? Liam's got it. Hold on for a minute, Liam. Good boy. Good man. Anyone else got it? Liam's got it again. It's phenomenally great. Go on, Liam, tell us. Witness. Now, does anyone know what a witness is? No? Apart from Liam, otherwise it's going to be very boring. No disrespect to Liam, sorry. Okay. Imagine Judah Pope. Imagine that there's a very, very unfortunate incident in your classroom, and the teacher finds that somebody somewhere has been copying someone's work. Bad news, huh? And you have seen it. That makes you a witness. Get it? You've seen it. And because you've seen it, then you can tell what's really happened. So God's looking for witnesses in this passage, and he's looking for witnesses to himself, particularly to say, do you know what? I want you to tell the truth about me. Only there's a problem. Look with me again, this time back, if we could have it up, at verse 8. It's got it there. There's a problem with the witnesses. Can you see it in verse 8? There's a problem with the witnesses. These are the people that God wants to witness. Let me just read the verse to you. Lead out those who have eyes, but are blind, who have ears, but are deaf. What's the problem with the witnesses? Does anyone know? Do you think there'd be good witnesses or bad witnesses? Do you think they would be able to witness, or do you think they wouldn't be able to witness? What do you think? No idea? Well, Judah, let's go back to you for a minute. Imagine that actually, although someone has cheated, you actually couldn't see that. Would that make you a good witness? He's going, he's not sure, he's thinking, is there a trick here? There's no trick. It's above the board, honest. Not a good witness, are you? Because you haven't actually seen it. And the problem is that the witnesses, the people that God's saying, do you know what, I want you to tell other people what I'm like, they really have got a sadly slipped relationship with God. And so although physically they can see and physically they can hear, actually the reality is they're not going to be good witnesses. And so God says, I'll be my own witness. I'll tell you what I'm like. Okay. And so he tells them four things. So we've had witnesses. That's the first thing. Here's the second. And this is where the children's sheets might come in helpful. The real versus the pretend. The real versus the pretend. Okay? Because God says, I'm going to tell you what I'm really like, and you know what? I'm the real God. I'm the true God. In fact, I'm the only God. And he says four things about himself. And for that, I'm going to get my lovely assistant over here. Here he comes. Richard, do you want to put that up on the stage? I think people can then see better. Thank you. And here's the first thing that God says. He says, hold on for a second, just hold it a second. In verse 9, get to verse 9. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. So come on, everybody, gather together, big crowd. I want you all to listen. And I'm going to get some witnesses. And I'm going to be the witness because no one else can be. Here's what he says. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? In other words, which of these pretend gods know the future? Because I do, says God. I know the future. And not only does God know the future, he also knows the past. In fact, God knows everything. And there's a big word we use for that we're going to have up here. I love big words. And I want you guys, you little guys, to learn some big words today. Here's the word. We got that? Richard, would you like to say that nice and loud for us?
Omniscient.
Omni means all. Scient is the word for science or knowledge. All knowing. All knowledge. And so God says, you can tell that I'm the real God because I know everything. These pretend gods, they don't know anything. They pretend that they do, but actually they don't. They don't even know the future. They can't foretell the future. I can, because I know everything. That's the first thing it says. And then there's a second. Okay? You ready with this one? This is in verse 10. Let me just read the last part of verse 10. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. Do you know what God's saying there? He's saying, I'm the only God who always lives. I'm the only God, here's the word that we're going to put up, who is, ta-da, Richard again?
Everlasting.
Everlasting. That means that God doesn't have a beginning and he doesn't have an end. We might think of it like this. God doesn't have a birthday and he doesn't have a funeral. He has always been. Do you see that? Before me, no God was formed. I alone am the God that has always existed. Always existed. And in fact, he emphasizes that if we just drop down a little bit to, where are we, verse 10? Leave me there. There we go. I'll read the whole verse. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. I am. That's God's name. That's the name that he said to Moses when Moses said, do you know what? What's your name, God? I need to know what your name is. And he said, I'll tell you my name. I am. I've always been. I'm here now. I have no end. I am. I exist. I am everlasting. So there's the second thing God says about himself. He says, I am omniscient. I know everything. I am everlasting. I'll always be there because I always have been there. Nothing and nobody is going to come before me. And there's a third thing. Look at verse 11. Can we flick to verse 11 on the screens? Thank you. I, even I, am the Lord. And apart from me, there is no Savior. So here's the third word. Sorry, Richard. There we go. Third word there. This is a nice, easy one. Anyone want to shout it out? Begins with S. No? We're thinking about it. I have a good think. That's fine. Keep thinking. That's good. That's good. It's all going on there. Savior. Does anyone know what that means? I'm thinking of little ones particularly. What's a savior? I think Jack may know. You want to tell me what it is, Jack? Good. Someone who saves. In case you didn't hear what Jack said, it's great. Another word might be rescuer. And God has rescued every single one of us in this room, if we're Christians, because he sent his son to pay for our sin so that we don't have to pay for our sin. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Sometimes people don't quite get the cross. They think it's a wonderful example or it's all sorts of things. No, no, the cross is about Jesus coming on in our place to play the game we couldn't play. It's a savior. And so God says, I'm the one that rescues you. And here's the fourth and the final thing, okay? Thank you very much. Oh, this is a bit of a tricky one. Look at verse 13. Can we drop to verse 13? Got it there. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. There's the I am he again. No one can deliver out of my hand. Here's the bit. When I act, who can reverse it? Imagine you could say that. Anything you do can't be changed. Because it's so perfect and it's done by such a powerful being. Can't be changed. It's there. That's what that word sovereign means. God can do anything, and when he does it, it's unchangeable. He's sovereign. He's the ruler. He's the king. He's in charge. He is the one. And so God says, my witnesses aren't able to witness to me, so I'll witness to myself, and I'll tell you four things about myself. I'm omniscient. I know everything. I am everlasting, living forever and ever 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 and ever. Are we getting it? And ever and ever and ever. And I didn't have a beginning, ever. Good girl. Well done. Ever. That's God. Thirdly, I'm the Savior. I'm the one that rescues. And fourthly and finally, I'm sovereign. I can do whatever I want. And it will be perfect because of who I am. So God says, that's who I am. Do you know what? I'm the real God. And these pretend gods, do you know what? And this is where the children can fill in their lists on one side or the other side. The pretend gods, they can do nothing. 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 They don't know the future. They are created, made by people, so they don't live forever. They can't rescue anybody. And they certainly can't rule anybody. Because they're not real. They're pretend. That's the point. So, we've seen witnesses. God is his witness. Secondly, the real versus the pretend. Now, thirdly and finally, the God who is worth everything. That's what I want us to end with thinking, okay? We may think as we sit here, oh, well, do you know what? That kind of living for pretend gods, that word for that is idolatry, isn't it? Or idols. We're not into idols. We don't do idols because we are sophisticated Westerners in the 21st century. We don't have things that we bow down to and worship and pretend they're gods. We don't do any of that stuff. We're not like that. Oh, but maybe we are. Maybe we are. Because an idol is just something that says, live for me. Live for me. Invest everything in me. And you know what? I'll give you what God alone can give you. I can do it. I can save you. Trust me. And you may think, well, what's that about? Let me give you a couple of examples. If you're serving the idol, and I'm aware that we're all very different here, so I've just chosen a couple of random examples. If you're serving the idol of career, and you don't sacrifice your time, then you'll end up actually with no career. Or if you're serving the idol of your body, and you end up not being able to actually feed that need enough, then your sense of well-being, your self-image will be devastated. The point is this, that pretend gods or false gods or idols, in the end, we pay a very, very high price for trying to follow them. They're not worth anything. They'll just take control and take away from us all the stuff that's good and beautiful and the things for which God has made us. Okay. Now, at the beginning, children, almost finished, I gave you some money, didn't I? There's a slight problem with it, as you probably know, though. What's the problem? It's fake. Good girl, it's pretend. So don't go and try and spend that in the shops. Don't think they're going to fall for it. But, and I'm afraid I'm not doing this because this isn't my money. It is Jonas's. So he might be generous, but I'm not going to be generous on his behalf. Okay. If I was to say, look at this. This is a £5 note, £10 note. Would anybody like it? No, don't come up because I'm sure you'd all be queuing. You'd all be queuing because actually this is the real deal. This isn't pretend. This really, really will help you. If you want the ice cream, which you're all dying for, I'm sure, then this will do the trick. Hand this over to the right shop, and you will get great ice cream, or whatever it is you want. That's the point. God is not only just the real deal in theory, he's the one that actually is worth living for. Let me just close with this story, and then I'm finished. Thank you very much, children, by the way. You've listened very well. Well done. It might be interesting to see how many you've ticked the number of times I've mentioned God. Did you tick that? Did you do that number one? It'd be very interesting to see how many times I've mentioned God. Anyway, this is from a diary. It was a guy who was an American, and he actually really wanted to live for God. And this is what he wrote on one occasion. I think he was probably about 20 years old. Listen carefully. He says, I walked out to the hills just now. It was delicious. to stand embraced by the shadows of a friendly tree with the wind tugging at your coattail and the heavens hailing your heart, to gaze and glory and give oneself again to God, what more could a person ask? Oh, the fullness, oh, the pleasure, the sheer excitement of knowing God on earth. I don't mind if I never raise my voice again for him, if only I may love him, please him. Perhaps in mercy he'll give me a wife and children that I may lead them through the year. But actually, if not, if only I may see him and smile into his eyes, ah, then nothing else will matter. Only him. A God worth living for? You see? Don't go for the pretend. Go for the real. And then, of course you'll want to share that, won't you? He will be the God you want to speak about. Thank you very much.